Fan Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local businesses, cheap eats, and yummy treats. And also events that are happening or not happening around town. And places to go and get some fresh air. Go for a walk. And places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians, hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. And welcome to the Wham Bam East Van Show. I'm your host, DJ Medi, and we're broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on unceded Coast Salish territories in beautiful Burnaby, BC, which includes the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, the Catsey, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. All right, today we have an amazing guest. Oh, looks like something is repeating somewhere, and I got to stop. No? Okay, weird. Okay, anyways, you don't look like that stopped. Okay. We're going to play some music and see if we can get our guests to come to the radio station. And we'll find out who it is after this song. We're going to play Art Bergman's Free the Sky.
The sky. get that unit. Fast cars, young girls, just try to keep myself alive. Screaming out my little heart and ass downtown. A dirty dive where I'm middle age. A middle rise. Just try to keep alive.
And that was Walk on Water by The Judys, the very best of The Judys album. And guess what? I am wearing a Judy shirt. What? And we finally found our special guest. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Gord McCaw, and I have been a photographer since about 1974, not full-time. I came out here specifically to talk about the vintage neons that I've been shooting since the mid-80s. I'd say out of about maybe close to 60 signs that I would call the classics, probably about at least 90% of those have disappeared now.
Wow, yeah. So poking my nose in where it doesn't belong since 1952, Gord.
That's right.
That's what I've read, yeah. Uh-huh. So, and you've been photographing all over Vancouver.
Not since 1952.
Right, not since 1952. Yeah. But yes. Tell me about a little bit, how did you first get into photography?
I was a journalism student in Calgary in between 73 and 76. And in the second year, photojournalism was a mandatory class. I had zero interest in photography. But like many other people, it was when getting out there and we were able to borrow cameras from the school's media department and all that. And our instructor would get us out there and shooting that first roll of film, souping the film or just processing the film and then drying and then putting it in the enlarger and making a print and seeing that piece of white paper in the developer tray in a tray of Dektal, first the dark tones come in, then the middle grays and the lights, and it's pure alchemy. And I've said this before, it put the hook in me and sort of eclipsed my interest in being a news writer. And I took the unusual step of, because I was shooting a lot of stuff for we had a class paper, and like for the journalism class, they ran it like a newsroom. And then I started shooting stuff for the student association. And getting back, I'm just backtracking for a moment. I dropped my gen eds and electives in, and so I had more time to shoot photos for these two concerns. And I picked those up in a third year because it was supposed to be a two-year course. So I picked up those courses and still had more time. And not only that, but had an endless supply of film, paper, chemistry, which can get pretty expensive. And you sort of take what you learn in the class, and then you have to kind of get in there and get your hands dirty and make endless mistakes and kind of push back against the urge to say, oh, this is not going anywhere. And you gradually start making some progress, and I end up getting a job with the media department in the school for several months. So then I had access to a third darkroom with professional levels. So I had notions of being a full-time freelance photographer, but that is a pretty tricky business to make go full-time. So I drove taxi for about a year and a half in Calgary, and was still doing photo on my own. Then moved to Edmonton I was there for a year and a half. I got a job with a photo lab that specialized. They had about seven or eight mainly pro clients. Did a lot of wedding stuff and all that kind of thing. And this woman who ran the place was a real perfectionist. So really learned a lot about color balancing and stuff like that. Not only did black and white stuff, but ran the mini printer and would do color enlargements. And I would take something to her that I'd say, "Oh, this looks pretty good," and she, "No, yeah, do it again." Yeah, so that's the best kind of thing you can get, really, is
real hands-on training.
yeah, somebody who will kind of lay it out for you. That was one thing I should mention about the instructor that I had at Mount Royal. Mm. He was a working photojournalist, and he didn't pull any punches. If you know, we'd bring something to him that we thought was ready for the Pulitzer Prize or something, and he'd say, "No," but then he would tell you what you needed to fix.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So that was really good.
Yeah.
So it could have gone the other way because there was another instructor there. Who I guess he shot for the Calgary Herald and I don't know who else. He even had one of his photos from the Calgary Stampede that was made into a postage stamp. And he was, apparently he was, his ego was as big as all outdoors because the students that were with him, all they got was him recounting how great he was and they didn't really learn much of anything.
Mm.
So I was really lucky that I happened to land with this guy, Dave Rickett. In fact, before I left Edmonton, I moved here June 1st of 79, but for the month of May that year, I had a solo exhibit at the Edmonton Public Library. And Dave Rickett, my old journalism instructor, he'd actually moved to Edmonton, and I got him to come over and kind of critique my stuff. And so I made some changes and pulled a few things and switch stuff around because, like I say, he was, you know, kind of not shy about telling you that if it was not quite making a grade, right?
Yes. All right, and we're going to talk about one of your first concerts that you photographed.
First concert I ever shot was Stevie Wonder.
Yes.
At the Northlands Coliseum, and I think was it November something in 1974. And I was green as the grass. You know, I'd only been taking pictures for about maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I the thing is you could borrow gear from the school media center. And so I had a 200 millimeter lens. And I had kind of had notions that being a total greenhorn, I thought, well, I'll be able to, you know, I was thinking it was going to act like a 1,000 millimeter lens or something.
Right.
Then, to my chagrin, I thought, oh, my God, he looks like an ant over there on the stage. So I figured out pretty quickly I had to get pretty close to the stage. And back in those days, it's not like now where, you know, there's all kinds of security. You could get close. And I managed to get a couple of frames out of about 36 exposures that were kind of sort of almost okay that they ran in the school paper, but that was my first run, and then it was kind of cool because I saw Stevie Wonder again in 2018 when I was down in Denver, Colorado, and he was on this festival called Grandoozy.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be they only had one. It was supposed to, but it was some cool talent like Kendrick Lamar. The best act I saw there, and I knew nothing about them prior to that, was St. Vincent. They were great. And this other guy named, what was his name? Mostly it was rappers, which don't really do it for me. One other great act there that was Mavis Staples. She's fantastic. My God, she's amazing. But it was really cool to see Stevie Wonder. Again, I shoot a few more photos. And, you know, that many years on. So it was sort of a coming full circle thing.
That's right, yeah.
But the next big show that I shot was in 1975 at Queen's Sheer Heart Attack Tour called the Saddle Dome?
Okay.
In Calgary. No, it wasn't the Saddle Dome, it was the... I forget the name of the predecessor, but it was about a 7,000 seater. And again, you know, you could get pretty close, like in a way that the only way you could do that now is if you got a pass from somebody.
That's right.
But in those days, you could get, and so I got some fairly good shots of That band, and they were kind of a cult item at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember. I might have even got comped for that because it was shooting for the school paper.
Oh, great.
So, but yeah, those turned out a lot better than Stevie Wonder anyway.
Okay, well, we're going to play some Stevie Wonder on CJSF. Here's Overjoyed.
Dream.